6:30.
On the nose. I'll call this meeting to order. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from last month?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Please sign them. I'm going to take one late resolution out of order, number 252, authorizing a 90-day extension for reporting to the Ulster County Legislature and finding.
Why is it late?
Because we just put it in after our last meeting.
I'll move it.
Does it conform to the lateness?
Yes, because the commission would be expected to actually have its report ready on May 1st, and we're in no position to do so. So.
Yes.
And I would have shot it down, but Kenny overruled me.
All right, I'm for it, no problem. As long as it fits the criteria.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, Carl, do it.
No, you're on the committee.
Okay, fine.
I believe that the dump committee should have as long as it needs.
You know, Mr. Ouch. Leader, I was going to make a recommendation, a friendly amendment, to give the committee more time, let's say a year, maybe 18 months, to finish this work up.
The longer the committee runs, the longer we don't have a dump.
Mr. Chairman, I would just point out that it took the Resource Recovery Agency 5 years to complete their solid waste management study, or they're still doing it. I mean, if it takes 5 years to do that, it's got to take a little more time to kind of figure out, you know, what the solid waste issue in the county is going to be.
I mean,
you can't rush it.
I can also tell you on that issue, the issue of the solid waste management plan, we give the RRA the authority to act on our behalf as a county for that. They submitted it 5 years ago to the DEC. We're pretty much halfway through. We're almost halfway through what would have been the 10 years that the solid waste management plan goes, and the DEC hasn't sent us back their comments on it, let alone approved it yet.
But
they said we're next.
It's actually been an issue. We even actually had members from DEC actually come down, and they promised us that we're going to have your comments back to you later on this month. That was in July of 2015. It is now. It's now April, soon to be May. 2016.
I've been informed by Tim Rose, the executive director over at the RRA, that he was told that they're just finishing up Rocklands now, and we're next. So,
one day.
Fair enough. Anyway,
that's it, Mr. Chair. Thank you. And why don't we take a vote on it?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
3 months you got.
Thank you.
Should we go and try for 6 months?
Why would you do that to me?
I'm just busting the
shot. Why would you do that?
All right, I'd like to make a motion for Resolution 179 and 180 to postpone due to the sponsor not being able to, come to speak before the committee.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Postpone for 1 month, correct?
Yes.
So I take it you don't need me anymore then, Mr. Chairman.
Adios.
Thank you.
Back to Stargate's with you.
Yes.
Dave, do we need to postpone 176 too, or no?
Is
that postponed the previous committee?
I believe we're pulling 176.
It was voted on? Okay.
173, establishing a policy requiring all legal notices to be posted on the official Ulster County website.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
No, you're good.
Discussion on it.
I didn't really get a chance to look at this, but does it state specifically where on the website it's going to be? I mean, is it going to be posted on the website?
It's going to be right next to Mike's
picture. Going to be on the
which one? It's on every website. It's on every link you go to.
You know, sometimes it's hard to navigate the website. I mean, if it's going to be on the legislative website, it should be, as soon as you click legislative, boom, it should be, legal notices should be right up there.
It says, that they shall be posted on the official Ulster County website, on the relevant department's webpage, as well as on a specific webpage dedicated solely to legal notices.
I believe that they're going to have a link at each website, so it'll bring you right to that.
Oh, it's the one page. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that depend on those.
I look at the legislative calendar every day.
And sometimes some of the things, EDA meetings and whatnot, don't necessarily get on our weekly update. You know, we try to get as many notices on our weekly update as possible, but it's not always possible. And if you're looking for information about something, you should be able to go to one clearinghouse to get it. I think that was Leader Mayo's thought mm-hmm. process on this. Mm-hmm. So.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Oh, we already signed it.
No, we didn't.
That was the other one.
That's the other one.
David.
Well, I haven't signed that one yet.
Okay.
We're doing 176. I think that's been postponed to previous yes. committee, yes. so we don't address it.
No. Nope. Right. A lot of some legal issues with that.
Let me check that one.
But having said that, I mean, I support the thing. I think we should just voted on and did it.
No.
Do we want to discuss it?
We're going to get sued.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? They're just going to tell us we can't collect.
So because we're big and mighty and have unlimited resources, we...
No, it's the idea. It's a fairness idea.
Railroad something through. Mm-hmm. It's got to be done right. If it's going to be done, do it legally.
You know, guy would
the Chinese are working on it.
Say, I'm not going to change it. I'm going to be an Airbnb. That way I don't pay any taxes.
Might happen anyway.
Yeah, but we really can't debate the issue since it's being held. 180?
Did you want to leave?
No, 178.
The committee is there.
Okay, 178. 178, calling for the full repeal of the New York State scaffold law.
I'll move it.
What is this over?
Repeal the scaffold. It's a memorializing resolution asking for a full repeal of the scaffold law, supporting A3209 and S543.
Did it pass already?
No.
The budget's completed. It didn't pass?
It didn't. The scaffold law didn't pass in the budget, no.
I don't understand.
But there's these separate bills. All right. I'll move it for discussion.
I'll second it.
The scaffold law is it's a law that's been on the books for quite some time. It's a automatic liability, strict liability law that, let's say a guy is up on a ladder on a job site, and he's drunk, and he's high, and he's, you know, insert a third thing there. You know, he's having a manic episode. He falls off the ladder. It's the building owner's responsibility. There's a strict liability standard when it's put to construction accidents. So this would remove the strict liability. This would allow for, you know, negligence on the fact of the employee to be a factor in whether or not an employer or a building owner is responsible for accidents on the job site.
But wouldn't a building owner still have insurance to cover regardless?
Yes, he does, Dave, and but that inflates the cost of the insurance.
Workman's comp.
Well, workman's comp would cover it, be separate from the liability, but it does inflate the cost of the liability insurance tremendously. Where I believe, and it, correct me if I'm wrong, Ken, we're the only state in the nation to have this kind of liability issues.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
What happens if somebody's got a ladder against the wall, and they're not intoxicated, or they're not on any, you know, they're totally
right.
cognizant and fine, and they go up and the wall gives away because of neglect. Does this guy would
well,
this repeal this law
no.
prevent them from
no,
suing?
No, it would put negligence where it is. If say a ladder breaks, you don't sue the building owner because the ladder breaks. You know,
but if there's a problem with the building, what it does is it allows for the circumstances to be taken into account when dealing with judgments and insurance and things of that nature.
Out of curiosity, I'll just ask. So, is this a late, by the way, or is this coming to our committee? Because
it's coming to the committee because it's a law. They're looking to repeal the law. Where else would you say? I mean, I just put it in, and the clerk directs it. So
okay. No.
It's not late. It was on time.
Okay. All right.
Any more questions on the scaffold?
I'm a little. Who are these sponsors here in the Assembly and the Senate?
The Assembly sponsor is Majority Leader Morelli, with co-sponsors Schimminger, McGee, Galef, Robinson, Sterpy, and McDonald.
I was going to say that
they're all majority sponsors.
Yeah.
And in the Senate, it's Senator Gallivan, co-sponsored by Amador, Croce. Yeah. Not all majority, but they're both of the main sponsors are majority sponsors.
Yeah.
In fact, our Right Honorable Senator Amador is a sponsor as well. So, and the chair of the Ways and Means Committee also sponsors that. And,
you looking to get votes or lose votes?
By the,
all right.
Well,
the
so it's being sponsored by the Democrats in the Assembly
and the Republicans in the Senate. Yep.
Yep.
All in favor?
Aye.
I'll be a yes.
Okay, we're going to 183.
Thanks, Rich. 183, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 5 of 2016, amending local law number 2 of 2006. This is altering the periodic compensation review committee process to allow for timely legislative action.
I meant to ask to be a sponsor of this. I'll move it, Mr. Chairman.
I'll second.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being a sponsor.
I'll be a sponsor too.
Does anybody need an explanation on this or no?
I don't. But
I think I kind of understand what happened this last cycle was that there was no chance for public comment or little chance for public comment. We voted on our raises right after the periodic compensation review report came in, and the taxpayer didn't have after the election. The taxpayer really didn't have a voice. They couldn't.
The idea of this is to be able to receive the periodic compensation review committee's report and still be able to accomplish the local law, because it's a local law is how salaries are increased prior to election day.
Good luck.
So it doesn't look, you know.
Get them kids out.
Bad.
All right.
I'll move it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We're amending this?
Yeah.
Why? What?
Change it to 6.
Yeah. We're,
we don't have to amend it. It gets amended on the floor.
We're amending the time.
Doesn't it get floor amended on the
only,
floor?
No, we can amend it in committee today.
Because he's okay with Craig's okay with it?
It's just amending the
Mr.
time
Chair,
of the.
Mr. Chair, at this time I'd like to amend the local law to be at 6 p.m.
Second.
Thank you.
You have to be sitting to amend a law.
Mr. Chair.
All in favor of the amendment.
Aye.
All in favor of the resolution as amended.
Aye. He doesn't have to be sitting to vote.
No. I might be the microphone.
I thought that was the Legislator Lauren's local resolution.
Oh.
Thank you.
Rich, which one we got now? 186?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, approving the execution of
I'll
the
move it.
Second.
Man, how much is this? What's the total number on this?
$302,802.
You know, I'm asking that these things, all these resolutions, they should come in here, and when they say
I agree.
Enter the 50,000, they should actually put the number on it so we know exactly what it is. Which number is that, 186? All right, because it just says 50,000, then you have the little tiny print of what it is, and then, of course, the financial impact's down the bottom. But, you know, it should be amending the contract over 50,000 and put the numbers in there. And actually,
we can ask the clerk to add something about that.
Put that on the front so we know right off the bat.
I have a question about the resolution. Why is it in this committee?
It's a county attorney's office contract, and the county attorney reports to laws and rules.
Oh.
The reason it's a county attorney's contract is because the FEMA hazard mitigation grant that the homes are being bought and demolished with is being overseen by the county attorney's office, in specific Robin Peruso, who's been down there dealing with this project for a couple of years. We're finally actually getting towards some resolution for these homeowners, which is really good. I've got one in my town, two houses, but one homeowner next door has been, you know, emailing on a weekly basis what's going on. It's been a very complicated contract.
Okay, all in favor of 186?
Aye.
233.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second it.
I'm going to make an amendment to start 605.
That's the next one.
That's the next one.
What do you mean, 605?
Forget it.
Resolution 233 is different.
My clerk here put the note on the wrong one.
This is too high. That's my fault. Sorry. Put the note down here.
Okay. All in favor of 233, or you guys want to talk about it?
I'm good.
I'll move it.
I'm good. I think that's a yes.
Aye.
And, the next two resolutions went through, also came through legislative programs because, veterans issues. I'll move it.
I need a second.
Second. 248.
I'm going to make
248 and 249. They're both.
We block them together, Dave. And
we
I'm gonna make an amendment
can't,
to start.
Can't. Well, can we? Is the other one we don't have to amend?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have to do these one at a time because we have to make amendments on them.
No big deal. Go ahead.
On 248, I'm going to make an amendment for 6:05 p.m. start time.
Second.
All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
All in favor of 248 as amended?
Aye.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, you can.
I know we all support this, the veterans and all, but is there a financial impact on what it's going to cost other taxpayers?
I'm sure there's a financial impact. Do I know it?
I mean, how many?
You're not going to know until they apply for it. What the financial impact is?
Well, they have an idea.
That's what I mean. We should know. There's got to be current veterans.
Kendra Dell did have a number, and I don't remember what it was.
Is it high?
I mean,
just be nice to know. Are the non-veterans taxes going to go up $1? Are they going to go up $50? Are they going to go up $200?
I think the one of them is maybe 12 or something.
Remember we had a resolution last year? Didn't we have a resolution last year, the year before, that we needed the financial impacts of all the financial resolutions?
That was the cost benefit analysis, wasn't it?
Well, would certainly, to me, this is something that's going to affect all the property owners, and there should be. And again, I'm not.
Yeah.
Opposed
right.
to it, but
we can ask
I'd hate to have somebody come back and find out their taxes went up $3,000.
Right.
And we can all sit here and say they're not going to.
Yeah, maybe general members. You remember when we did the other legislative programs?
Yes.
And we passed the ones for the veterans, and Ken Cradell gave us a number of what that effect would be on the average.
I think something like $53 per. Something very low.
Did he have it in writing?
It's not that low.
I don't remember exactly.
No, it's not raising other people's taxes. That would be lowering the veterans' taxes.
$53,
I believe, is what you're referring to.
Could we ask to get it in writing?
It was very inconsequential.
We can ask for it.
Right,
they should be able to put it in writing.
Yeah. Do you want it for tomorrow night or for next month's meeting?
No, we can still pass this. It's just setting the public hearing, but I think it's certainly something that should be available the night of the public hearing to say how many expected. They know how many they're expecting. And that way we could say this is...
For the most part, this is increasing exemptions that are currently held. So, it's probably, they can probably just extrapolate the number that way.
Right. Well,
and can we get it in writing? Because I'm tired of these guys saying
Cold
things.
Warm.
Don't say anything. Show us.
Let's move on to 249 since we passed 248 then talked about it.
Yeah, well, these were both passed by the state.
I have no issue with it, but
at the end of the day, when
things come
exactly
to us, there should be a financial impact. And I thought we had a resolution last year that they had to give us financial impacts when they sent us resolutions.
Rich, the financial impact is on the cost of the county, not the cost to taxpayers. I think that's all we actually have to report in resolutions.
It doesn't cost the county anything.
The county's budget neutral for the county.
Yeah.
Right, they just ship the cost over to somebody else.
Exactly.
But we shouldn't be doing it unless we know what it's going to be.
And we'll find out if we can.
Well, if we can't, we shouldn't be passing it. If they're not willing to give us the numbers, we shouldn't be.
They could give us
Ken guess. Yeah, Ken Cradell asked him because he did give us. So you can just call Ken, he'll give them to you.
Yeah, okay.
You said that was a quick question.
249, setting another public hearing, local law number 7.
All right. Move it.
Second.
I'm going to make a friendly amendment here to do the time to 6:10, change the time.
I'll move that. Second.
All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Discussion on the resolution? All in favor of the resolution?
Aye.
Amended?
Aye.
New business, We're going to talk about amending rules to set procedures for memorializing resolutions. And Rich, you're the one who brought that up. Be so kind to talk about it.
Thank you. Thank you. I know that we've discussed this in the past, but I think that memorializing resolutions take up a lot of time at meetings, and I think if a legislator supports any memorializing resolutions to go to our state or federal reps or the governors or president, they should just write a letter or write some sort of resolution and have legislators sign it. You know, John Bonasek, when they created the Orange County Legislature, he was on a radio show that I used to do, and he specifically said in the rules of the Orange County Legislature, memorializing resolutions are prohibited because you should be doing the work that we can. If we want to change things in a state government or the federal government, we can write letters or we can run for those offices. So, you know, this isn't to be voted on today, but I think, you know, and not to knock Legislator Donaldson, but last month, Legislator Donaldson and who else?
Me.
And Legislator Bofilio were discussing two different sides of a memorializing resolution, and when a vote came, we were unanimous. Everybody voted the same way. So it was kind of odd. You know, we hear a discussion, and then we will. I don't know. I just think the time has come for us to consider. I'll stay till 2 in the morning to discuss county business. I'm at the point I'm not interested in discussing things that don't pertain to the – that we don't have a say over. I speak to Kevin Cahill. I know Senator Bonasek. I know Senator Amador. If I have an issue with them, a state issue, I've emailed them on my own and how I feel, and I just think it's would be worthwhile to consider it.
And I have no problem with it. I kind of agree. I think there's ways of doing it, and I think there's one thing that they already have, right? What is the Orange County one? Do we have a copy of it?
We could maybe call down there, but you know, I've never seen theirs. Just Senator Bonasek said when they created it.
Yeah, we can get it.
Memorializing resolutions are prohibited in their legislators. It's prohibited. They can only do resolutions pertaining that they're allowed to do. And you know, this was never an issue up until maybe 5 or 6 or 8 years ago. I mean, Sue Zimmick brought tons of them to us. I mean, we used to have 2 a year when I first started, and now we were up to 2 or 3 a month, and sometimes it gets up to 4 and 5 a month. And I think, at the end of the day, I think just...
And what's weird about it is you're right. People argue over them more than the county business.
Yeah. You know, we'll discuss a memorializing resolution.
You have no say, really, but you're arguing over it.
We'll discuss a memorializing resolution, and then for 40 minutes, and then a bond to borrow $7 million goes through, and it's a unanimous yes, and nobody asks a question. And, you know, and it seems like, you know, and I'm guilty of it, too, so I'm not blaming other people for it, but I just think the time has come. We just need to concentrate on county business.
Mr. Chair, you got something to add?
Thank you. You know, and I don't want to belabor the point tonight because it's just for a quick discussion, and we'll talk about it further next month. But you know, I would be in favor of like we did with late resolutions, doing some sort of a criteria that would whittle down what you can do memorializing resolutions for. I think letter writing is great. I know Legislator Berkey and I and every other. Every other legislator signed on to one about the state budget because it was beyond resolution deadline. But that having been said, there's something to be said about an enactment of the body, and it carries more weight than a letter or a petition or any other incarnation. So on something that's important that has an effect on county residents, I don't think that we should deny ourselves the ability to impact the state and federal levels in that way. But I do think that, you know, I'd love to work on some sort of a criteria that if it has to meet one or two of the following criterion to be able to be considered. And then that would cut down on, you know, the supporting the State Department's position on events in Tibet or voting to impeach the president. Two things that we've done as a body. The impeaching the president was just before Kevin and I got here. And then the State Department position on events in Tibet. Yeah, we got a very nice letter from His Holiness the Dalai Lama for that one, but I don't know that it really impacted county government.
Knowing what I know now, I would have supported that impeachment resolution.
You know, can I make another quick comment?
Yeah,
you know, I think I've spoken to one particular state rep, who has said he's gotten so many memorializing resolutions from the county, they don't mean anything after a while. You know, when you're weighing in on everything, and you know, not to knock any of our constituents, but when you get an email from the same constituent, you know, sometimes you say, oh my gosh, things can't be this bad, not again. And I'm not, I read them, but it's no different than what we're doing. We're sending out resolutions after resolution. You know, on this sales tax issue, I've gotten some resolutions from the towns, and I've read them, even though now they're starting to be alike. If I got three a month, I wouldn't pay attention to them after a while, you know, as much, because you go, geez, they're, you know, pick up the phone and call me. Write me a letter. I don't want to see a resolution, you know?
Maybe we could limit them one or two per member per year. But I mean, I'm just saying, there's got to be something we can do other than banning them.
I don't think you want to, you know, limit.
I just think a letter, or like Legislator Rock said, Chairman Rock, maybe coming up with a, it's got to meet a criteria, but.
Well, if you want to talk about criteria, what would it be? Financial, environment, or roads? Well,
they're all important. That's the problem. They are all important.
The problem is, but you're right. You come up with a criteria. In other words, how do you, what would be the criteria? Do you have anything? I mean, if it's going to be financial,
just a debate about it. Don't have one.
Yeah, that would be a great idea. No debate. You vote yes or no. That's a great idea.
Call the question.
That's a great idea. No debate on Memorial. That's a great. So that's something. That way you have to talk to people ahead of time.
What district is he in?
Yeah.
Smarter than the average bear.
You know what? That's a great idea, though.
That's a good idea, though. Mm-hmm. You don't debate on
them. Can we debate not having a debate?
No, they're not debate. I think that's. But that's a start.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be something to do with
it. When we send this to our state or federal reps, they don't know how long we talked on it. They're not listening to the minutes. They're getting a resolution.
Everybody at the table knows that I love nothing more than debating, so.
Well, there's enough important. There's enough county business things, and I'm not knocking you.
No, I understand.
There's enough. And another thing, you know, that's not in this resolution, but maybe we can add to it. I've always been a firm believer that when we have our monthly meetings, during public comment time, public comment should only be on resolutions that are before us that night. They should not be on other issues. I know I'm pretty sure Marbletown does that, and other municipalities. You can only, you know, if somebody wants to talk to any of us about an issue that's not on the agenda that night, pick up the telephone, come to a committee meeting. We always let everybody speak in a committee meeting. Come, email us, call us.
Yeah.
County business night is county business night. Public hearing, I want to hear what people have to say about what we're voting on. That's it. I'm not interested in hearing other things.
That's so an interesting point, seeing as tomorrow we're going to have a large contingent, possibly, of railroad folks coming up to talk about.
There's going to be a bunch of them.
Can we shove that rule down their throats tonight?
No. I'm not looking to do anything.
I think there's going to be a demonstration out in front. I saw a Facebook event, 5 o'clock tomorrow night, picket line or whatever.
Sorry, I just recall Bob Freeman saying at a meeting, session he conducted in Woodstock, that even if something's not on the agenda, if you have public comment, you can limit the time, but you can't necessarily limit the subject.
I mean, I have a problem with limiting what people have to say. I mean, it was a public comment.
You know what?
Comment. That's
we let them comment, and you know what? Oh, then let's do public comment at the end of the meeting. Then, you know, if you want to speak on a resolution, you speak at the beginning. If you don't want to speak on,
if we, I just realized an unintended consequence of that though. If we limit the
we do limit them anyway. We're only giving a minute and a half to
speak. But I'm saying,
so we are limiting them.
If we limit. If we limit the topics, then we'll never get to hear from Phil Guerrero again.
Maybe you can put a gong or a trap door or something in after the minute and a half.
Yeah,
that's pretty good. With
3 minutes.
After 3 minutes, you pull the rug out from under, you hit the gong.
Yeah, he just annoys you.
Well, can we look at that too?
Some people do take advantage of the 3 minutes.
I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive. Marmaton has to be a resolution on the agenda to speak.
May not be a legal law, though. It's just nobody's challenged it.
No. I mean, do we let people come to this meeting and talk about things that have nothing to do with our committee meeting? No, we wouldn't allow them to speak.
Yeah.
So there's really no difference between a committee meeting and a full meeting. They're all guided by the same rules and laws.
Not really. There is a difference. This is a working committee meeting. The legislature is a meeting of the entire body, so therefore when somebody's coming in and they want to speak about something, they have the entire body there and they can speak. And so, Mike, you know, I don't know. I have a, I don't know. I would have a problem with limiting that part of it. I have no problem with the other one, the no debate on the memorializing resolution.
That's a good idea. We're going to call that the Tom Cadgen law. Yeah.
Don't put my name on it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, would that hold up, too?
Sure would.
What do you think?
We can make our own rules.
Yeah, no, I think you can restrict your own speech. You know, that wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
I think if you characterize a memorializing resolution as a non-debatable question, then the chair enforces it if someone wants to rise and debate the issue. Point of order, it's a non-debatable question.
And what about Rich's other point, limiting public comment to discussion agenda that's on our agenda for the night?
Yeah, I mean, I have to think that through or look at it, but I think the public meetings or open meetings law, but also maybe a First Amendment issue as far as attempting to restrict content of speech. Once you open the floor, you kind of open the door.
But can I make a quick comment on that? You know, our public comments period by law only has to be 30 minutes. So 50 people to sign up,
that's true,
and 10 of them take 30 minutes, we can shut the other 26 off. So we're not a fully open to allow 8,000 people come in and speak.
You open, you can't restrict the type of things people say.
We don't know that. And I know, we'll find out, but I think you can keep it to agenda. And personally, me, if we're going to let people speak, then let's get rid of the 30 minutes. I mean, if they want to, let's let everybody speak for 10 minutes and let 400 people speak in a night instead of, you know, if we're for... Because right now, at 30 minutes, we can cut public speak right off. We don't have to listen to people. One person could speak for 30 minutes and we could let nobody else speak. So...
Kind of like this meeting.
Yeah, I think it, when we look it up, you'll find that we can limit public comment to, I really do. And
well,
I'll look it up.
The thrust of this committee, though, isn't to actually create resolutions. It's to interpret the resolutions that are before us. This would have to be created in another committee.
No, we can create them.
No, we can create resolutions.
Yeah, and then it gets introduced next month.
Any other new business?
I'm looking this up, but we can go.
One of the things we do is, you know, the rules. Change them. Well, since Ken's been here, we've changed them like some people change their underwear, but that's another issue.
I mean, there is a rule right after we change them too, isn't there? That you can't address an individual legislator.
Yeah,
isn't that a rule?
I don't know what the rules
are. There's too many cameras around, so I don't know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, I think anything that's targeting that procedure,
there's only one of them that's right of me in many ways,
or how you're recognized,
or if you're running.
That's right.
You're right. I am right.
Did you hear my question?
No.
Okay. I'm not repeating it, no. I said we have a rule about public comment that says you can't address an individual legislator, and isn't that thwarting free speech by, you know, not being able to say, hey, Chairman Ronk, how come you're not advocating for this, or how come, you know, you did that?
Because public comment is directed towards the body, not towards individuals.
Remember that guy started singing about
No,
Fred?
I mean, you're controlling, you know, how long they speak, who they speak to, but not what they speak about.
He started singing.
He started singing positively 4th Street.
All right, hang on.
Yeah, I have a feeling if someone did want to challenge
Fred goes,
hang on.
Get out.
That's it, you're done.
It's the only time I've ever seen him mad. I shouldn't say that.
No.
Are we done? Hang on. Make a motion to adjourn.
I'd like to bring up one thing, Dave, if you don't mind. You mentioned charter reform. You want to talk about it. Did you have anything in mind?
No, not a right off hand, but I do want. We should take a look at it. You know,
I'm here, I guess, Mr. Chairman, and that brings up a topic. I'd like to see something that establishes a communication policy between members of the executive branch of government and individual legislators. There's nothing in the charter that specifically states what that policy is. And with a limited time continuum that we have to put resolutions before the deadline between the monthly meeting and the next, resolutions that call up for the following monthly meeting, I think that it hampers and is constraining on our ability to get information, you know, research-based information from department heads or assistant department heads, because right now we kind of all know what that policy is. You know, and I think if the policy is clearly stated, okay, you know, a legislator must talk to one of the assistant, you know, like Bob Sudlow.
Deputies,
thank you. I was looking for the term deputy. Right, so have the charter spell that out then, instead of what is going on now. I'd like to see that in the charter.
It seems a little complex to put in a charter.
What's that?
It seems a little complex.
Well, I don't think it has to be as wordy as how I just explained it.
It boils down to the
solution is probably going to be much more concise.
But it boils down to the legislative body's power of the purse. So if they, you know, there's a... They want anything patched out of the legislature.
But I'm not looking at it from that perspective.
The information in order to pass.
I'm just looking at it from the perspective of.
I like Jay's.
Like a policy.
How about the Sox?
Like
them quite.
What
match.
Is the policy of communication between us and them? You know, like so. If we just want a basic question answered for research that we're doing on a resolution.
We have subpoena power. That's what it comes down to. If you're not able to get the stuff you're looking for by asking,
but then you're talking
well,
about
you would
like,
have to you would probably have to change the charter then if you're saying that they I don't know.
I'm just saying something.
I don't even know how you'd word that though. You got to think that through without without
but
having
you know,
unintended consequences.
Everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, I think it's...
You want to be more specific?
I almost do, but I'm not really sure.
I think I was specific enough.
I'm, like, totally lost.
Well, here's what happens. During our regular monthly, you know, responsibilities here, you may have a question that you want to dig deeper into and ask the department head. Right now, the policy is you can't ask a department head. You have to go through the deputy county executives, and then they will ask the department head. It doesn't always work for all legislators. I know it works 100% for me, that rule, but I know some legislators do get a chance to speak to department heads. I don't know if it needs to be a charter thing. I think it works now. I follow the rules. If I need to talk to a department head, I ask either Ken Cornell, Bob Sudlow, or someone else who can get that message from him because they won't take my calls.
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, you know, I understand the idea behind it and understand the point of view, but I don't think operationally it's going to work the way you'd want to. Even if we had a charter change that says legislators are allowed to talk to department heads, no department head here is going to say anything to you without talking to somebody in that office first. So you really, you know, it's an extra step.
Then maybe the charter should say okay. Legislators. You know, the communication is that legislators talk to.
You know what, legislator? If we want department heads to talk to us, If we want department heads to talk to us and come to these meetings, as soon as we stop passing resolutions, then
absolutely.
They'll come.
And
so we can do it, but what we need to do is have people in the back
and
pocket of people that just want to get stuff done and not care. So it's simple. 12 people can do it. If 12 people get together, say nothing's getting passed until they. Return my file. I've called Suplansky about highways. Stupid stuff about simple questions from constituents. She refuses to call me back. Do I still pass roads and bridges stuff? Sure. Should I? Probably not.
It's just like I
probably
had
not.
Questions about our
in Washington, they wouldn't do it. In Albany, they wouldn't do it. But we're not as hardcore as they are.
I'm going to
and don't hold them accountable.
I'm going to allow Jennifer to speak since you guys are arguing back and forth.
Sorry.
That's all right, Jennifer. Okay. Thank you for being so patient.
So, just one thing. I worked on the charter with Jerry Benjamin 10 years ago when I first came here, and I went to see him when I was elected. I asked him about this very specific question, and he disagrees that. We should have no access because the way that we read the charter together, it looked as though considering our powers and duties over budgeting and appropriations and policy, that we should have access to those who have a role in making it.
You're right.
So if there are department heads who have a direct role in making policy and we need to question them, we should be able to do so. I think it's about interpretation, and I think it's definitely a discourse to open whether or not we're going to get there right now, but I just wanted to tell you what he told me.
Mm-hmm. Good.
He also said that the legislature has the powers already to do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
So basically, part of it is about whether or not we're willing to challenge in a more systematic way communications policies. And so I've done some research on that, and I'm happy to share it with those of you who want to take that outside of committee and talk about that. It's not about challenging one person's communication policies. It's about, in general, talking about the role of the legislature as a body, mm-hmm. rather than saying what we're against or for, but just what it is we do and are able to do with the information that is gathered by the departments who work for all of us. So.
Well, one department I think we should be looking at is the, unfortunately, is the controller's office. You know, do we need a controller? And do we need an elected controller?
Okay. I would say yes.
Yes to both of them?
An elected controller. You don't want an appointed controller.
If you'd like, I can...
In my opinion.
I can pull up the research that we did on why we added a elected controller to the process. It was meant as an independent watchdog entity.
What happened 10 years ago may not be necessarily working 10 years later.
That may be true. But we were looking at what other counties were doing in order to maintain accountability.
Well, if it was appointed by the legislature, that would be better than appointed by the county exec.
Because?
Because then the comptroller would answer to the legislature and not the executive's
manager.
Office.
That's called the county manager.
Yeah.
Well, no, that would be... I've always advocated for a county manager over a county executive.
What, Carl, the current political climate we're in, it looks like this balance of power is going to be flip-flopping back and forth, you know, 12, 11, 13, 10, Dem, Republican, Dem, and that's going to go on for quite some time, it looks like, maybe in perpetuity here in Ulster County. So, I mean, politically, that would be problematic in terms of
Who does the
I mean,
who
you
does
could,
the comptroller
you could have,
report to?
You could have an executive flop every 4 years, too.
The legislature?
I don't know if I buy that.
But we can only set policy for him, though? I mean, he reports to us.
Who?
The comptroller.
No, you can.
He's under our...
We can give him, you know, orders. We can tell him audit here, audit there, do this, do that. We just haven't.
Through resolution.
Yeah.
Or, yeah,
we can hire somebody to do orders too.
We can.
Just ask him.
Tom, just something right. For the charters. What do you call it?
Right. It's probably a lot easier to just ask him.
The intent that the charter commission was looking for where the controller was mainly in program audits, which was like what you're trying now with the nonprofits.
Yeah.
To see if departments and programs were actually working efficiently.
I don't think so.
He did say that they were sampling 5 of the biggest not-for-profits.
Reviewing.
Not auditing, but... All right.
Anything else?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.
Anybody want to take a look at that?
No.
Say that?
Yeah, no. You don't have to.